This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the Oversoul Shaman King podcast. I am VLord GTZ, and with me I have my usual co-host, Sakaki.
Somebody oversold me, I'm dead.
I think we're all slowly dying, so I'm not sure if we can all be oversold at once unless we have a really good shaman with us.
Okay, maybe I can come back as a stand. That'd be great. Wrong podcast, though.
I mean, aren't oversouls basically stands? I mean, let's be honest here.
True. They really are. That's why Takei ran to Kildansha. He knew Araki was coming.
But also with us today, we have two special guests. First up, we have Laser Kid.
Holy cow, I'm on another Viewer podcast. I'm surprised. It's shocking.
Yes, who would have guessed that we would have brought on Laser, of all people, who we've had on multiple other podcasts that I do. This is such a surprise.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yes, and also surprise, we have Jekka1021.
It's been a while since I've been on a podcast.
I guess it has, yeah.
You are the actual surprise, then.
True. What was it? April? May? What are months?
April. It was the Demon Slayer podcast.
Well, probably. I mean, technically that didn't come out until like May, though, right? Or
it was the last week of April, honey.
Was it? That's amazing.
We recorded it like last week of April.
Yeah, we recorded it the very same day we went to see it. So that was.
If you want to be really technical, I was not on that podcast for very long.
You were there at the end too, though, because like you started laughing at the end.
I don't actually remember doing that either, so I probably came out of my nap.
I mean, it's in the recording.
I know. So
we have evidence.
I remember none of it, though. I do remember waking up, and then I'm like, "Damn, this is still going."
Yeah, that's yeah.
Well, hopefully, we won't have that problem here today. Because we're talking about the Netflix Shaman King anime, or Shaman King 2021, which is on Netflix, because hello, Netflix jail, you're a thing.
Hello, Netflix, my old friend.
Hello, darkness.
Oh my god. But yeah, we all recently watched the new Shaman King anime on Netflix. And we need some new blood for this, since, like, Sakaki and I and Marion, who will be here eventually, hopefully, maybe, TM, talk about Shaman King all the time already. So we wanted some new perspectives, hence Laser and Jekka. So you are our test subjects, our control group, if you will.
I won't.
It's already too late. You're on the podcast. You signed the contract.
I mean, I asked you. You could have said no. And
that is,
I mean,
true.
They offered cake, so, you know.
True.
I mean,
what kind of cake, though?
The kind that's a lie, of course.
If the guy that offered the cake isn't sure what cake it is, I'm a little worried. Because I wasn't told.
I had my contractors provide the cake in the contract. I did not touch the
cake.
Wait
a second. So if I'm a co-host and I didn't know about the cake, I quit. I'm leaving right in the middle of this recording because I wasn't told about cake at all. And
Pay also comes with cake.
And I brought one of the guests here. And also, does it work as a control group if I watched it with Jekka? Because I can influence the results.
We'll get to that later. Technically.
But I guess to start off with here, Laser and Jekka, you both have prior experiences with Shaman King in some form, so I wanted both of you to go into how you got into Shaman King and where you first heard of it, all that stuff. So, Laser, you go first.
Well, I am the old man here, so I first read Shaman King in the print editions of Shonen Jump way back in the day. And hilariously, as I was watching the anime, I realized the anime covers almost everything I read. There's only like an episode or two of new material for me, but it was nice to revisit a lot of stuff. I felt like I had gotten further than I actually did, but it was amongst the stuff I was reading in there, and I loved it back then, and I was getting excited for the old anime, and then the company that shall not be named got it.
Wait, you mean Netflix?
No, I mean 4Kids.
Oh, 4Kids, okay. Oh, you meant back then.
Back then, okay. Back then.
I was thinking, like, timelines here.
The old anime that is about to come back into print, actually, from what I hear. But that I never actually watched it, because it's like, I already knew what was going to happen. It was 4Kids. I'm a One Piece fan. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, like, I have not seen that much of the 4Kids dub of Shaman King, but it doesn't seem like it's held up very well.
I've only seen a few because at one point there was, well, I worked at a Toys R Us and they had like a broadcast television set in back in the work area, and for whatever reason it was on Fox, and so I saw an episode where they called Hao Zeke, and I thought that was really weird, although I didn't know who Hao was, so I was just like, who the hell is Zeke?
Yeah, some of those name changes were just really bad.
But
like, what did they call Horo Horo again? Like, freaking Ray Chaser?
Trey Racer, yes.
Trey Racer. Like,
Jake is the one that stood out to me because I had no idea who he was because I hadn't gotten that far in the manga. So I'm like, we'll get into that character when we get into that character here, I suppose. But I was just like, who is this guy? What the heck?
Who's this dollar store, yo?
Yes, that was very much what I was thinking at the time, actually. I'm like, what?
Oh, God. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting thinking about the old anime, too, because, like, I feel like I really did not watch a lot of the old anime before reading the manga, if at all. So it's interesting to hear that, like, you were also kind of, like, first got into it through, like, the manga, it seems.
Yep, 100%. Almost all my early experiences with Shaman King were through that print Shonen Jump magazine. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I read it until I stopped subscribing to Shonen Jump, which would have been around 2008, 2009.
Dang, I mean, how long were you subscribed?
From issue 1 till about 2008, 20, I think 2010, actually. So.
Oh, geez, yeah, that is quite a long time.
I was there for many, many, many years before I eventually just got to let it lapse, and I actually, the reason I let it go back in the day was because I ended up deciding I wanted to get some Marvel comics instead. That was a mistake. So
betraying manga for Marvel.
Well, back then Marvel wasn't what it is now. It was, at least it was not as bad as it is now. This was around the time that like Secret Invasion was going on. If anyone that follows Marvel knows what that is, that's around the time I did that.
Okay. You're somewhat excused then. Only somewhat.
Only somewhat.
But I guess moving on here, Jekka, talk about your experience.
So first of all, not that anybody outside of the podcast really know this, but I was looking up. So I'm actually kind of like a voice actor connoisseur, I guess, for lack of a better word. I like looking up other anime that voice actors that I know from previous experiences are in. And I guess at one point I stumbled across Shaman King, and I have a friend who used to watch it. She used to watch it in the Philippines, though, so she knew it from then. So we were watching the sub version, and I kept telling everybody that we made it to episode 16. I'm looking at this now. Apparently we made it up to episode 44. Yeah, so I got further than I expected there. But yeah, pretty much we, for a while, we haven't actually touched it in about 3 years or so, but we were watching it together for a good long while, at least like close to a year or so. Yeah, so I got into that because of voice actors and whatnot, and this was her first time actually seeing it in Japanese, so it that was yeah, my experience was boring.
No, I mean, I think that's still pretty interesting. I mean, I think that everyone has their own unique way of getting to Shaman King. Because, like, the usual, I think, generic response is like, oh, I watched it on television with the 4Kids dub. And, like, it's interesting hearing a lot of people, especially recently, whenever we talk about, oh, how did you get into this? And learning that there were a lot of different options that people kind of ventured across the series. Because, like, for me, the 4Kids dub was definitely not an entry point. It was definitely the manga, like, Laser. So I always felt like, oh, is my perspective, like, unique on this? And it's like, sort of, but not really, because there were definitely other people in the same boat, too. So, yeah, I think that's still really cool.
So, have you read the manga at all, Cheka?
I started Volume 1, and after that, I'm not sure what happened. I have so much in my backlog that I still haven't even, like, touched. Like, if you somehow, like, were able to get into my Comixology and my Kindle in general, like, there's so much stuff in there that I haven't even touched yet, and I have many, many books.
This is very relatable to me.
I mean, I don't have as much as V-Lord, just putting that out there, but, yeah.
I think most people have as much as V-Lord.
Yeah,
probably. No one should have as much as a V-Lord. V-Lord should not have as much as a V-Lord.
Like V-Lord, V-Lord probably tweets about more shit that he gets, so it's hard to really take you seriously.
It's me crying for help, Sakaki.
I was at Otakon and you look pretty gleeful. That didn't look like a cry for help at all.
My eyes and face were happy, but inside I was tormented. I was obligated to buy all that project
art. No, you weren't. Okay, let's go move on.
Who else would have freed it?
Anybody! Okay, no, let's talk about Shaman King, because we could spend another hour or two talking about Otakon. Do you want to do that? Because we could do it.
Please, no.
Okay.
I don't want that trauma again. So, like, we're gonna dig right into the new Shaman King anime now, and I wanted to talk about the probably biggest topic of discussion here about the anime, and that's the pacing. So, for those who don't know, the first 13 episodes of Shaman King 2021 adapt the first 85 chapters of the manga, which is about 9.5 volumes, which is kind of a lot. But considering that the anime is supposed to be 52 episodes and adapt all of the series, which is 35 volumes total, it also kind of makes sense. And personally, I wasn't that bothered by the pacing. Like, you could clearly tell that things were gone and, like, they were kind of speedrunning a few areas of the series. But I felt like the core elements that I enjoyed from Shaman King were still there. But I know some people disagree with me on that, so I wanted to kind of hear your guys' thoughts on that.
So is it like a free-for-all? No items?
Yeah.
No items, Fox Final Destination?
Yes, go match it.
I mean, Well, anyway, there'll be other... we'll be able to discuss the rest later. I wasn't a fan of this pacing. Like... I'll admit, yeah, we had a discussion about this the other night, and I mean, I admit I was a little bit harsh, maybe, but, like, the elements are there. I do agree with you on that. But I just feel like there wasn't much time to appreciate them, because it's moving so fast. So, I mean, I'm going to probably say this ad nauseum throughout this recording, but I'm basing this based on the first core. Now, who knows? Maybe later cores, they fix the pacing and everything's better, but I wouldn't say necessarily this was bad pacing-wise, and I get what they're doing, and I get that, you know, they have a limited time to do it, but I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like there wasn't much time to savor what makes Shaman King unique, at least in my opinion. And maybe later cores will fix that, but right now I would just say I'm really kind of underwhelmed by what this core did.
Okay. Jekka, Laser, any thoughts?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It reminded me of when I used to read it back in the day. I'm not fresh at all on the manga. These are 20 plus years old of reading it. But, well, not 20 plus, but 15 plus, go with that. It's been a while since I read the manga, so I don't have memory of anything to compare it to. But everything I did remember was in here, and I enjoyed the pacing. I thought it was enjoyable. I as someone who watched the dub, it was a little strange to hear the voices for Yo and Ren be so young. But it makes sense, but it wasn't what I expected.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, like, oh god, most of the dub casting was amazing. I mean, all of the dub casting was amazing. Like, I totally got into those voice actor voices for them eventually. It just was a little, wait, what?
Yeah, I kind of feel that. We can get into that in a sec, too. But, Jekka, thoughts on the pacing?
Pacing. So, yeah, I agree with Sakaki, like, saying that it was pretty fast. I mean, oh, damn. even with my not-so-fresh memories of it, like, also, I feel like if I didn't have already some experience with it, I would have thought it was at least a little fast. Like, the same thing happened with, like, crap, what the hell?
Karakuri Circus.
Karakuri Circus? Yes. Oh, God.
Like, okay, so I had, like, nothing for that one going in, but even I could tell, like, the first few episodes were, like, moving super-duper fast. So, this... I mean, I do get it, like, 52 episodes, and, like, they have a lot to cover, so it does make sense that, like, of course they're gonna, like, rush a few things, and they're gonna, like, trim here and there. I don't know, I just felt like not all of the episodes, like, the first couple were, like, okay. I feel like somewhere between, like somewhere in the middle of the core was, like, it just started zooming, and I was like, I want to get off this ride just for a little bit. But, I mean, otherwise, I feel like in rewatches, I probably won't be as nitpicky about it, but, and again, like, what Sakaki said, it probably will, like, smooth out, in, like, later episodes and cores and whatnot. But, yeah, I don't know, it's just, like, there wasn't enough time to really, like, I don't know, have any, like, thoughts of, like, what happened and everything. Plus, there was that one scene where, like, they totally, like, chopped out, like, this one part of the manga, like, clearly, but, and, like, Manta's just, like, going over, like, oh, yeah, this happened, and this happened, and I was like, but I want to see this, like, this looks fun. It was, like, one of those filler moments that you always get in, like, normally, like, tournament stuff, where, like, they just, like, take an episode of, like, or, like, half an episode or something, and this one, like, it was covered within, like, 5 minutes, and, like, that was probably, like, in my opinion, the worst moment of that, but otherwise, I mean, I feel like, yeah, like, eventually, if I ever do rewatch it, then maybe it won't be as bad, but, I mean, I don't know. A lot of nitpicking.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a valid perspective, though. And I think, like, my hope, like, with Sakaki is that the pacing will kind of smooth out in these later cores. And I think part of that, too, will be that compared to the early parts of Shaman King, the latter, like, two-thirds is a lot less dialogue-heavy and dense. Like, at that point, that's when Takei in the manga became a lot more focused on the artwork and, like, visual storytelling rather than just, like, spitting out lore through, like, solely dialogue.
Yeah.
So I kind of get that there had to be a lot of fat cut in the first core just because, like, most Shonen Jump manga, the early parts tend to be the most dialogue heavy just because, especially with rookie mangaka, they aren't used to maybe, like, telling these stories and establishing all this lore in, like, a very, streamlined way that isn't, like, overwhelming.
Yeah, no, I could kind of get that. I also kind of, like, it's not a good comparison, I admit, but especially since, like, the first anime, and I really should have looked this up before it came on, I know that midway through it did go and do its own thing, but I can't remember how much it adapted. And I just...
It went to right around where Lily Rara showed up. So really, like, right around where this core ended is where it started to diverge.
Okay, so... Wow, it only got 10 volumes after, like, 70-something episodes? Anyway, yeah, so I kind of wonder a little bit if it's a Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood thing, where they're just like, okay, we're going to speedrun the stuff that people already saw, and then maybe settle in a little bit for the stuff that wasn't animated. So, I again, bad, it's a bad comparison, but I kind of wonder a little bit if that was kind of the thought, because they obviously... And this will come up later. They obviously do take some nods from the first anime, so it's not like this staff is completely unfamiliar with it or trying to distance themselves from it. So I wouldn't be surprised if a little bit it was just like, okay, well, you guys saw this. And now, unlike a lot of other anime of this type, the old anime is, like, available. So, you know, like Hunter x Hunter, you can't get the 99 one anymore, really. So 2011 really was its own beast. But Shaman King, like, they, before this anime started, they had them in Japan anyway, available on YouTube. You could watch the whole first series. And now, you know, Discotech is going to be offering the first series on DVD soon. So it's there for you to watch it. So I kind of wonder if there's a little bit of just like, okay, people already know this. We don't need to go through it again. I mean, we'll go through the motions and get to the stuff that, you know, probably people maybe have not would really want to see animated.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, especially, like, from what I've seen just from, like, the next episodes that are coming in the second core. There are still stories that you think would have gotten cut, like, say, like, the bear story, that are still in the 2021 anime. So I'm hoping that, like, it's going to be a lot more, I guess, kind of... Not brisker paced, I guess, like, more consistently paced in the coming
episodes.
Yeah,
that's a great way of putting it, actually. I really like that. That it's not even a thing where I would say... It is fast. I don't think anybody's going to say that it wasn't, but it just feels weird that they... It was kind of like a jerky kind of fast. Like, okay, go super... As Jekka said, there was, like... The first couple episodes where it was like, okay, cool. Then, like, in the middle, it went super fast. Then I feel like... Towards the end of the core, it slowed down a little bit, but then jumped again on, like, the last episode. So I just hope that if... I want them to slow down, but if they're really not going to do it, then just go balls to the walls and just go full speed.
Maybe it was just me, but I honestly didn't feel like it was going too fast. It was definitely not going slow. I'm not going to say, oh, no, it was perfectly slow. But I didn't notice any of this. I can kind of see it in retrospect now that you're mentioning it. I didn't notice anything.
It was not Hoshinenki.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was definitely wasn't a Karakuri or Hoshinenki. And I mean, to be fair, yeah, like, as you mentioned, Laser, that we're all kind of fresh off the manga, which I made the mistake. I mean, going back, this is going to be the Karakuri King episode, huh? Going back to the Karakuri Circus, like, I will say I read the manga of that. And so my disappointment for the adaptation was palatable, which is funny because, like, compared to Ushio and Toro, which I didn't read the manga at all, I thought that was fine. Like, I actually really liked it. And then I read the manga and I was expecting to hate the anime after reading the manga. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, it's still good. So
I go to this anime is too fast is Inuyasha the Final Act, and this did not feel like that.
God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I like Inuyasha the Final Act, but it's
I do too.
Rushed.
I do too. And I didn't have that's another case where I didn't have the manga to compare it to, because I read some of the Inuyasha manga, but not that far. I could still tell. So this didn't feel like that to me. Maybe kind of like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood's probably a fair comparison, because I didn't feel like that was too fast either. It's fast, but then I could follow that, I could follow this. Maybe it's in this case, in both cases, because I had prior experiences with most of what they were covering. That might be it. It's been a while, but maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't watched Final Act, but from what you all are saying.
I mean, it's not
I
bad.
I feel like if... Yeah, but I feel like if you have the option, read the manga first.
Yeah, I know. I need to.
It's a lot better as see your favorite parts from the manga animated rather than trying to understand the story solely from what's being shown.
My TLDR on Final Act is the beginning of it is really hard to follow, but after a while it does slow down and it falls into the story. When it's wrapping up the story from the previous show, that's when it's like, let's go 90 miles an hour. I'm like, what the hell? I don't remember what was going on. Please explain yourself. Nope.
Yeah, that part's a mess, especially since, like, there were parts that the first anime had, like, skipped over, so they had to, like, double back on it and, like, try to figure out how to, like, scramble it all in.
Yeah, I haven't tried to do Let's Watch Inuyasha and then Final Act. When I watched Final Act, it was just like, all right, well, I watched Inuyasha back in the day.
Oh, what were you saying, Jekka?
On the topic of Final Act, I actually have not seen it since like 2012-ish. That was around the time I started getting to Kape Yamaguchi. But yeah, that actually makes so much sense. I've not read the manga for Inuyasha. I mean, I've read parts of it, but not all of it. And yeah, that like the little memories that I have of Final Act. That does make sense, because I do remember being very, very confused during that, so, yeah.
My takeaway from our conversation right now is we have to do an SNS episode on Inuyasha. Oh my
God. I mean, we were gonna do one anyway, weren't we? Like, you can't...
I mean, you're already...
I think probably eventually.
You're already covering Rinne and,
Mao, so Mao, it's just like, yeah. It feels like... we're saying is like we just all need to watch Final Act and shit on it for about 2 hours. So that's something that's something I could be.
I mean, I enjoyed Final Act, but that was it is too fast. Was ultimately all I was trying to say is that's my definition too fast. Didn't feel that bad. It is a little sped, but I was able to follow it and enjoy it. I don't know what else to say there for me. But...
See, this is why you don't have me on podcasts, because they turn into Shonen Sunday podcast eventually.
We thought that SNS would solve it.
You get me on a podcast, and I will absolutely squirrel.
But all right, Sophie Lord doesn't cry in editing.
But yeah, I mean, I guess to move on here, Laser was alluding to the voice acting earlier, and I'm curious, what do you guys think of the English dub?
I enjoyed it. I was a little surprised, as I said earlier, about certain cast members sounding way younger than I expected them to. Although, as pointed out by our buddy Alien when I was mentioning it in our little chat, well, they are kids. And they're like, you know what? All right. They are children. This makes sense. It just wasn't what I was expecting. But other than that, like, legitimately, I enjoyed the cast. Like, Amida Maru was freaking perfect.
Oh, yeah, I really like Kaiju Tenga's Amida Maru. And honestly, like, there were a few voices in the dub that I was very iffy on. Specifically, Ryu was a bit of an adjustment.
That was funny as hell to me, honestly.
Yeah, I think he's voiced by DC Douglas. And, like, the Elvis voice was interesting. And I wasn't sure how I felt about it at first, but once you got into more of the character building moments with Ryu, it actually kind of worked. And the same also goes for Anna, where I wasn't really feeling Tara Sands in like her introduction episode as Anna. But then by the latter half of the core, I think like either Tara Sands just really got into the character or somehow I just got convinced about it, but... Like, it just started sounding really good. Like, the bedroom scene between Anna and Yo
was perfectly
done in the dub. Like, San's performance there as Anna was just amazing. So, I don't know if it's Stockholm Syndrome or something, but I like this dub.
It reminded me of the Inuyasha dub, where they start off and you're just like, what are you doing? And then eventually just they nail it. I do feel like everyone, all of them, kind of just settled into their roles. Except for Minamaru, he had it out the gate.
Yeah, I think, like, that's probably definitely the case, because I really was more iffy on the dub in the early episodes, but by the end, I just didn't really care. It was fine. And, like, also, Lisa Ortiz as Tao Jun was perfection.
Yes.
Like, I kept imagining Lena Inverse, but it was perfect.
I mean, anytime I get to hear Lisa Ortiz, I'm happy.
Yeah, she's so good. But Sakaki Jekka, I know you guys watched like a little bit of the dub,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we did.
First and... episode and a little bit of...
we watched the... Seven... Yeah, because you wanted to hear Dan Green.
Yes.
Yeah, so we...
I was ended here up for Dan that. Green.
Yeah, we ended up watching his episodes. I mean, I guess overall, just personally, I mean, we didn't last long. Because, like, when
no.
we tried watching when Anna was introduced, and yeah, I don't like her voice at all. And perhaps at one point, if I do get around to rewatching it, I'll try to dub again. Like, Ryu and Anna, I couldn't at first. So, like, Yo was better than I thought he'd be, honestly. Like, I liked him. I liked his voice. Ren would take me some time to get used to. I know that Jekka, she said she wasn't into Morty. I mean, not Morty, Manta. Shit. I just went back.
We don't use the four kids.
I'm sorry, I just used to. Like, when I hear that voice, it just sounds like a Morty voice. Like,
hey, Morty, we gotta put your seeds up your ass, Morty, to get through customs, God. Morty. Hey, Morty.
I mean, legitimately, it was an annoying voice, but honestly, it very much felt like Manta to me.
Like, oh, geez, yo. Or are you going to compete for Faust? Oh, jeez. Anyway, like, yeah, I just...
Oh my God.
I didn't, like... I was fine with Manta's voice, though. I mean, I don't know why, really. It just... That didn't bother me. Yo didn't... I like Yo a lot. I like Ren a lot. I don't know. I mean, apparently Jekka really liked Dan Green. I thought it was just okay.
I just know him from, like, other stuff.
Okay, fair. I thought he was just okay.
I honestly just wanted to see like how his voice here compared to the other few that I know him as, and it hit right on the mark.
Okay, I mean,
wait. So who did Dan Green voice?
Silva.
Oh yeah. It's okay.
Is it under Jay Snyder? I think so. Yeah.
It's Jay Snyder. Yeah. That's why I was looking for at the cast list, and I was like, huh, I can't find Dan Green.
No, that was yeah. Silva did well. I enjoyed him as well.
I didn't feel like I didn't hate it, but I was just like, I mean, I guess if wasn't he in the original too?
Yeah,
and he's Mewtwo in Pokemon.
Yes, he is.
Okay, see, as Mewtwo, I kind of like him as Mewtwo. I will say that. I do.
He's also Yugi in Yugi.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, oh, of yeah, course. Yeah, he's Yugi, yeah. That one I like, too. But, I mean, Silva, I mean, not that Silva was bad, just I didn't really feel like I would. He's not the worst part of the dub, but he's also not remarkable enough where I'm like, yes, he just really sold his part. I would like to go back and, you know, check out the dub at some point. But since that, like Jekka, I'm also sort of a voice actor, like gourmet. Like, ended up watching the sub just because there are a lot of really popular Japanese voice actors. You know, you have Conan as Hao. You have, you know, Edward Elric as Ren.
Megumi Hayashibara.
I mean, yeah, you have Lena in versus Anna. There you go. Yeah, and you know, I mean, speaking of 4Kid stuff, of course, Horohoro's voiced by Japanese Brock or Takeshi. And he had Mizuki Nana. I forgot, was she Pilika or like Tamao? I think Tamao.
But I'm hearing that there's Lena in version no matter which way you watch it.
Yeah,
true.
Basically, yeah. So like, and then of course Hidorikawa. Yes, you got it. Isn't it Hikaru Midorikawa? Anyway,
you started it wrong.
And you finished it wrong. There, you get the heroes. There, V-Lord. Are you getting the martial spats that you love so much?
Yes, this is the content I needed.
So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of really popular voice actors. And then, of course, I mean, I'm surprised. If you didn't watch the sub, I mean, you had, as Lili Rara, you had freaking Vermouth from Conan.
True.
Oh yeah, Michiko.
No, Michiko Nea. I love her voice, but no, she's Tao Jun. It's Mami Koyama.
Oh
yeah,
okay.
Or Ava from Monster. Like yeah, like but yeah, Michiko Nea. I love her. I'm so glad they got her back because I love her voice, and she's so criminally underused, and I'm glad for that. I am.
Then, like, Romy Park's Tao Ren, right?
Yeah, Romy Park. Yeah, like I said, Edward Elric is Tao Ren. Or, well, we the whole time we were watching, we kept saying Ueki. But yeah, like I'm glad that they got so much of the staff back, and of course, like Inuko Inuyama or Meowth as or Niasu as Nyarth, yes, as Manta. She's another one that's like criminally underused because like I really like her. She has such a unique voice, and I would love to hear her more stuff. But she's pretty much just Nyarth or and like 13 in My Hero Academia. That's it. But yeah, otherwise, like the sub was good. Like we were saying, like Romy Paku at first, it felt like she had to kind of grow back into the role, because like what were we saying? That she seemed like she didn't want to be there.
Yeah, she was tired.
She's like, let me go home.
Because like we're watching another show, the Idaten. Oh, yeah. I forgot the entire title of that thing. Oh yeah, the Heian Seidan no Idaten Tachi. I have the Japanese. I'm looking at our Cineplex thing, and I have the Japanese title, not the English one. The Idaten deities live in peace, something like that. And she's a main character.
The Idaten deities
no peace
or something.
Yeah.
She's the main character in that, and she sounds more like Ren there than as Ren. So like, yeah, that was the thing that we were just kind of poking fun at that, but. Yeah. I mean, double. Otherwise, I would go back and watch the sub at some point, especially with like since Vilar and Laser liked it so much, and I respect your opinion, so I do want to go back.
Yeah, like to be honest, I probably do prefer the Japanese cast, but like I'm also lazy, and I'm gonna be honest. While I was watching this, I was doing other things, and my Japanese is still not good enough to. Listen to a Japanese show without subtitles, so I am stuck to listen to the dub and watch the dub until then.
And I am Mr. But Prefer
if
stuff
I have
anyway.
Time, yeah, I mean I've reached the neutral point, but if I have time to go back and like sit down and solely focus on it, I would definitely probably rewatch it subbed, because like. The few episodes I have seen of it in Japanese have just been perfection. Especially, like, I love Megumi Hayashibara. So, like, her as Anna is just amazing.
Yes. And let's just say, like, Yozo voice actor from the actress from the first anime, she's retired. And I will say that, crap, and I just lost her name. Like, his new Japanese voice actor, she sounds exactly the same almost. Like,
I got the clone.
Yeah, she sounds like, as somebody who's watched the first anime, like if I didn't know Japanese and I wasn't following the news, I would assume that it's the same voice actress. Like that's what I would think. But yeah, I mean, I heard that she did a lot of like training for the role too, like when she got picked up. Yoko Hikasa, there we go. Yeah, that's she did a really good job there. And oh yeah, I forgot to mention Takagi.
Oh yeah, Takagi's Tokugero. Yes,
we literally also... just mentioned him in the chat, like...
Really?
A couple hours ago, I think.
Oh, okay, that's why.
Been watching, and they got to Takagi, and we were like, yeah, he's in that.
Oh. You can never go wrong with Takagi.
No, you can't. You can't. You really can't. But okay, yeah.
Also, Minami Takayama. I know we already mentioned her, but I just also want to say that it's like she never left, to be honest. Also, we were also joking that she finally got free from voicing Conan. So having the ability to voice Hal is just like, yeah.
Yeah, she sounded like she was...
Instead of finding murderers, she's now causing the murders.
True. I mean, actually, she's been doing it all along.
Oh my god.
I mean, then again... Then again, she did voice Envy in, you know, Brotherhood.
That is true.
So, like, she's pretty good at playing murderers. So
Conan is really just the murderer.
True.
The Black Organization is just some weird, like, convoluted pyramid scheme that just all goes back to Conan.
What really happened is Conan wanted to be a child again anyway. So it's just like, hey, you're going to do this, and I'm going to totally solve the murder. That way I don't get pinned for it.
It would explain, it's
totally not me, guys.
It would explain how he can keep screwing up and still not get caught.
Oh,
my god, it makes sense.
You just remind me of this, like, this one Japanese artist that, like, had Genta realize it was Conan all along. Oh, yeah. And he, like, points a gun at him. He's in tears, like, I don't want to do this. But it's the only way to save Japan. And then, like, Conan's like, he makes some BS excuse, like, I'm trying to take down the criminals from the inside, so this is the only way I can do it. You know, by causing murders, I can find them easier. And Genta's like, that's bullshit! I'm gonna take you out and save Japan! But yeah.
God. But I guess moving on here, I wanted to briefly talk about the music, because I really like the soundtrack to this anime.
I did too. It really fit well.
Yeah, especially like during the Tao En versus Ren fight, the music that was playing there was just like complete fire. I don't know. There's something about it that just like is really adrenaline pumping.
Maybe it's Hayashi.
When we were watching it, we were talking about he put more effort into Die soundtrack. I guess it's just because there's just so much Hayashi I'm watching that it's all blending together. So like I don't remember any of the songs, if I'm to be completely honest.
I do remember liking it though.
I didn't. If I compared it to like just it on its own, it was fine. Although again, I don't remember most of the soundtrack, but I remember there were a couple of moments I was just like, "This sounds like My Hero." Oh right,
it all makes sense.
So like, yeah, I remember just thinking a few.
All songs according to Keikaku.
I remember just thinking a few songs sound like they'd fit right into My Hero Academia. I'm like, oh right, yeah, same guy. That's why. But like, if I had to say, just like on its own, it's fine. But like, I don't remember most of it. I remember being more kind of like enthralled by like Hayashi's work on Die, than Shaman King. But that's not to say it was a bad soundtrack. Just like for me so far, it hasn't been like memorable in that sense. You know.
I mean, I'll fully admit, Die soundtrack is like pretty god tier. Yeah, so yeah.
How do you beat that? That soundtrack's amazing. Even I'm watching Die, and it's subtitled, and I'm watching it.
Yeah. So like, I think that's a fair assessment that like Die is better. But I don't know. On its own, I enjoyed it like as much as say like My Hero soundtrack, which I also really like.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, this is definitely not me like saying it's an awful soundtrack, and Hayashi needs to calm down. I guess to be fair, we were also kind of like not fully paying attention to every episode because we were like talking to you guys while watching them. So maybe it's a thing that at some point, again, maybe when I'm going back to watch the dub, then I'll also like have an ear out for the soundtrack. But again, being compared to the My Hero Academia soundtrack, which is also pretty fire, like that's definitely not, I would definitely say that's a compliment.
Yeah. Jekka, any thoughts?
He died again.
Hold on.
And Jekka was never seen again.
Damn it, Meow. Stop killing people even when you're not here.
She's like, oh, we need more Amuro on Conan. And that gave Jekka a heart attack.
Oh, are we going to also talk about the opening ending? Because that's also music.
Opening,
yeah, we can.
That opening was stuck in my head for days.
Yeah, I will say, okay, I don't want to keep being the guy that compares things, but I mean, I did like it less than the original ones. But that being said, it's a very good song on its own. Just, yeah, I Megumi, she can't miss.
Yeah, Megumi is an amazing singer. Absolutely. Yeah,
she absolutely can't miss. Like, I mean, if Oversoul is just such a... It's just such a tough, like, act to follow. So,
it's iconic. Like, they literally use it for the ending theme for the episode that Yo gets his Oversoul.
Yeah, exactly. So they, and I love that moment. The fact that they could have distanced themselves from the old anime and be like, okay, we're using stuff. But the fact that they know that that's iconic. And they brought it.
I mean, when they first announced the anime, they used Oversoul as the song.
True. That's very true. But yeah, no, I mean, Oversoul's a tough act to follow, but the opening for this one, still very good. A very good follow-up. I mean, like...
I feel weird because I don't know that song.
Oversoul? Oh, we need to educate you, old man.
It's my turn to learn things.
Yeah, Oversoul's amazing. Just, I mean, I know the
this
dub
is what
song...
I'm not watching much of the anime.
I know the dub opening is, like... remember is memorable for its own reasons, but like
it's not really good.
I know I've seen it. I have no memory of it.
It sounds like a dollar store Pokemon. It does. I'm sorry, but it does.
It does. It does. It really does.
Four kids. Why? Just why?
Look around you. Look beyond. You can make an unbreakable bond.
Oh no. Oh no. So what I'm getting is when this podcast is over, I'm going to be educated on Shaman King intros.
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, they're both good. I will say, as far as the old anime, I like the first ending in... The first opening and the second ending most. Like, Omokage is amazing.
I think it's the same for me. I'm trying to remember the second one. I know...
Northern Lights? Like, it's no, okay.
I really like Northern Lights.
I also like that, so I don't know.
I mean, I like Oversoul. I mean, they're all good songs, all four of them. True. All, yeah, but if I had to be like, I'm going to choose my favorites, yeah, like Oversoul and Omokage are like my favorites. Like Omokage especially. Maybe for Omokage, it's just the video. Like, there's just something very, like, it's all just solo Anna and she's like on her own and everything like that. And then they like have the shooting stars and like the shattered glass and everything like that. Like the video just stuck with me. So like, yeah, that might be it. But I mean, as far as the ending for this season,
the ending definitely didn't stick with me on this one. The intro stuck with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the ending.
I like the ending. I mean, yeah, it wasn't bad. But it is not the one that stuck me. It was the intro that would be stuck in my head for like a week plus after I watched it. And I'm just like, what is this? Oh yeah, that was the intro. That was cool intro. Ending? I don't want to hear it. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. And then I couldn't even tell you what it is off the top of my head right now, but I can absolutely think of that intro.
Yeah, I mean, I like the ending. I just wish they hadn't used so much auto-tune or whatever that is. Like, Megumi doesn't need that. She's better than that.
Oh, like the Vocaloid effect?
Yeah, the Vocaloid effect, yeah. Like, I wish they hadn't done that. Like, when she sings on her own voice towards the end of the song, that's, like, the best part. But, like, yeah, I'm not a fan of it, and I really wish they hadn't done that. But otherwise, the ending is, like, musically it's fine, I just wish they hadn't, like, used the, you know, Vocaloid effect.
Yeah, that's fair.
It isn't. I will say this much. I mean, we'll probably talk more about this in future episodes, but I am a bit surprised that they didn't stick with Megumi all the way through.
Yeah, that is weird. I thought for sure they would have.
Yeah, because like now, I mean, they went old school and they didn't switch the opening after the first core. So we're getting the opening for two cores and then another Mizuki song for the last two cores, I assume. And like the second ending was Yui Hori, who voices Jian. And then like the next ending is actually just a Japanese band. So
yeah, Saji.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, they're really good, but it's just odd that they went that direction with it.
Well, you've got Megumi Hashibara on your project. You use her for intros and endings.
You just do that. I mean, but
I'm like, hey, I've got this gold bar, but you know what? No. I'm going to pay for things, but I'm going to get some iron instead.
But all right, yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to shit on whoever these guys are. I'm sure they'll be fine. But you've got Megumi Hashiyapara, man.
Yeah, that did surprise me. But yeah, Saji's good. I've heard their songs. They're good. Like if they're not probably the first band I choose if for whatever reason you couldn't keep Megumi, but like as far as Japanese bands go, yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, Nana Mizuki for, like, the second opening isn't a bad choice
either.
Like,
no, she's great. Yeah.
So, yeah, that is interesting, though, that, like, yeah, they didn't go all the way with Hayashibara. But I guess moving on to animation, it's not great.
No. Yeah. No.
And to be honest, I wasn't expecting it to be amazing, because, like, Studio Bridge's other work doesn't look stellar. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! 7's looked okay. Talentless Nana looked fine, but there's not much, like, fluid animation in it to begin with.
Yeah, there are a lot of still frames, a lot of off-model things, and just... I mean, yeah, it's... It, I've always said this about anime is that the studio is always, it's just a building. It's who do you get? Who do you have, like, directing, you know, the writing and all that stuff? That's who's important. Because you can have, like, a shitty studio, but have an awesome director behind it. And
yeah, but the flip side to that's like the studio has their own usual pool of freelancers.
They do. That is fair, but it's just like even with those let me put it this way: like if you have those freelancers and they're just okay, but you have a superb director behind them, then you could work something out with that, though.
Well, yeah, that's true, but I feel like that's not the case.
No. I'm just speaking generally, not like for Shaman King. Yeah, no, unfortunately. I feel like, when we first heard the staff get announced, it was just like, yeah, I won't say they're new, but it's definitely not who you'd want on something, something like Shaman King. Like, I don't think anybody's, like,
wasn't stellar animation. I didn't think it was terrible, but it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, no.
It wasn't oh my god, look at this animation. No, I very much felt it was a bog standard C, maybe C minus.
Yeah. I will say the artwork, I like the character designs a whole lot, like, very much. Like, it's just maybe the movement or lack thereof.
I definitely am on page with you there. I actually really quite like the character designs and the choices of colors and the way they shaded. That part I really like, but you're right, the animation was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. I've seen worse. I've seen much worse.
Yeah,
I've seen Studio Pierrot.
Oh. Pro has made better shows than this.
The clowns.
Send in the clowns.
I'm sorry, I had to make the joke, but I had to make the play on that. But no, you could do way, way better. You absolutely could.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like Joji Furuta's like other stuff has been like season 3 of Seven Deadly Sins, which
oh god
was notoriously bad.
Yeah.
For multiple of factors, primarily Aniplex pulling out.
This really wasn't that bad.
Yeah. No. And, like, besides that, it was, like, Eldalive, which Eldalive, I hear, is, like, a pretty bog-standard adaptation. So, that's kind of what I felt here with the animation. Like, it wasn't, like, terrible and unwatchable, but it didn't do anything that was very impressive.
Yeah, it was very workmanlike. Like, you know, they got in, they got out. You know,
the characters and the storytelling was pulling all the weight. The there was not, oh my god, look at this action. It was like, okay, action's okay.
I mean, which, hey, you never know. Maybe the next core, where as things develop and there are more action, you know, pieces to it, maybe they'll do more. Maybe they just feel like at this point, I mean, there's just a lot. We're gonna go put our full effort into drawing talking heads, you know? But still, like, the rescue Ren and everything, I was expecting them to pull out a little bit more than they did, but...
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed with the animation in that area, because, like, there were some, like, good cuts here and there, but, like, for the most part, they kind of tried to avoid animating as much as possible.
It reminded me of a certain season of Ruby in that sense.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that was kind of the same feeling I had here, where it was like the fight with Palron and Shaman. Like, that's like super dynamic in the manga, and they really kind of try to avoid showing a lot of the martial arts and like the actual motion of the actual moves. And like they just finish off with like a still frame of like Pyron just like impacting Shaman instead of like showing like the badass like crashing scene like from the manga.
I will say I had my hopes up, and I'm sure Vilor's gonna remember this, but for the flashback scene where he, you know, Pyron realizes that he was killed by them, neither one of the anime lived up to the manga, that one.
You remember it
like where they shot where. You know, it's a gunshot, and then, like, you can see, like, it's one page where he's, like, falling through glass, and you can see, like, the entire backstory in the glass shards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, like, I did kind of like what they did in the anime, but it just wasn't the same.
No, it just wasn't, and neither anime was able to do it. And it would have been just, let me not say it would have been easy. I don't do anime, so I have
nothing is easy.
Yeah, I'm sure animation is very difficult, and I'm not going to belittle them on that. But I just feel like that's the time where having a still frame would have been fine thematically. But yeah.
Yeah, goal Evangelion.
Congratulations, Pyra. Wait.
See, I would watch that.
Yes, you watched that. I didn't, but I know about it. I can still make the joke.
But yeah, I mean, like, I guess overall it was kind of meh. It was like, could have been better, but could have been worse, I guess. Wasn't Seven Deadly Sins season
3. Yeah.
It is. Serviceable would be the word I would use.
Yeah, like I said, workmanship quality. Like, they just got in, they did what they could do, and they got out. There wasn't any impetus for them to be like, all right, let's go above and beyond for this. Which, again, it's just, like, I stick with my story earlier statement, but it is weird that, like, well, not weird, because the anime, like, industry is just, like, who's got the time, who's got the... You know, who do we have connections to? Who's got the minute to draw this?
The disappointing factor here is they went through, they took that Netflix money and they didn't really use it. And that's why...
I mean, Netflix, like, is primarily just on the committee for exclusivity rights.
They
probably aren't funding that much of the production.
Then why are they getting exclusivity if they're not giving any money?
they're paying money for the exclusivity.
Yeah.
There's still multiple other companies on the production committee that are probably giving more money.
Yeah, they're
making
they're...
me feel like they really people shouldn't just shouldn't take that Netflix deal thing if it's not going to help them.
I mean, they're still probably giving more money than other anime licensors.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a thing.
Yeah, to like show. I mean, they're paying to just say, hey, nobody else can show this, and that money probably is a whole lot compared to maybe like Crunchyroll or somebody else. I mean, that's what.
Yeah, they're also paying for like it globally rather than just one country,
exactly.
Which is also more convenient for them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's
if you're getting that extra money that you wouldn't otherwise have, you could have put that into the animation budget.
I mean, but the show's already fully animated by that point. It's not like a thing where they just come in and say, "Here, we're gonna put it on our TV for other people to watch."
They would swoop in pretty late to the point where like. It wouldn't factor into being able to get more animators or more time to actually produce the show.
Yeah, exactly, you know, piggybacking off of what V-Lord said is it's always the mantra in anime is like it's never money, it's time. And this is still airing weekly in Japan. Like it's not a thing where globally this is being dropped on Netflix every core. Like you can watch it on
Japan. Yeah, and there to segue a bit out of this, like there's also been the issue lately over the past year of a lot of animators in Japan actually leaving because of low wages and like lack of training. So like the animation pool in Japan is getting a lot smaller, unfortunately. That's why a lot more outsourcing is also happening into other countries, and like people are recruiting from social media.
Or Japan just treat your animators better. Good.
I mean, that's one. And then treating animators would be like good, but you know, actually having animators too. But that's also like a circle jerk thing, because like if you treat them better, more people might want to draw. So
if you treat them better and pay more money for training, probably that would bring in more people.
Paying people something will get them to do a better job. What is this making sense?
Who would have guessed?
But yeah.
But to move away from this until we get on too big of a tangent, did the anime live up to your expectations?
If I had to go by just this first core, and I was brutally honest in our chat, so I'm gonna be brutally honest here. If I had to measure the entire anime based on this first core, I would drop it, like soft drop it. I'd get back to it at some point, but it wouldn't be like a priority. Because, like, yeah, it really underwhelmed. This first core really underwhelmed me in several aspects. That being said, it's Shaman King. I'm willing to give this the benefit of the doubt and, you know, watch the next core and see where it goes. But yeah, overall, no, it didn't, like, meet my expectations.
That's fair. Laser, what about you?
Honestly, I enjoyed it. I'm seeing a lot of these points, and I can't argue most of them, but I had a fun time. It was still enjoyable. It was still, like, I wouldn't call it bad. I definitely said it lived up to what I was hoping out of it. It was just a fun time with the Shaman King characters, and that's what I got.
So do you think you're going to be immediately swooping in when the next core comes out on Netflix?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Well, okay then. Jekka, what about you?
Like, I'm not really sure if I knew exactly what I was getting into. I mean, again, I did see like 44 episodes of the original, which I remember like 10% of. Honestly, like, I did actually like it, despite like the pacing and everything. And honestly, I would probably watch it again to make sure I actually pay attention to the parts that we did not watch while we were chatting at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I did actually like it, though. It does also very much want me to... It does make me want to check out the manga, so it is doing its job. I will say that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Reading the manga is always a good thing. Laser, do you want to read the manga?
I would read more of the manga. I read some of it back in the day. I'd love to try and read some more of it. Hell yeah.
It's all on Comixology Unlimited, or if you have Amazon Prime, you can also just get it for free through that.
I need to do that, because I do.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, then do it.
I mean, like, if... I guess to put it that way, yeah. If it gets people to read the manga, then it whether it's a good adaptation or not, then it succeeded in its job, so... I mean, I would definitely, I guess to put it this way, if somebody were just like, I can't read the manga or I don't want to, I wouldn't say don't watch this, like, or just, you know, I would still say, okay, it's, you know, this anime is fine. You can check that out. But overall for me, I just wish, you know, some things had, there were just a lot of things that I wouldn't be able to say that it lived up to my expectations. Would I watch more? Yeah, hell yeah. I mean... I would be definitely looking forward to whenever the next core drops, but am I right now just kind of like hyped for the next one? No.
Tokyo Revengers can do it. Anybody can do it.
Exactly.
I mean, Tokyo Ghoul could do it. And Tokyo Ghoul's anime is terrible.
there's a commonality.
Tokyo Ghoul season 2. Why?
Yeah, and, like, I think for me, my expectations for this anime were already very low. Because, like, I don't really care about most anime adaptations anymore. I just read my manga and, like, leave anime alone. Like, the main benefit for anime for me, in most cases, because there are exceptions, is to get people interested in a series. And that's still what this anime does, despite its flaws. Like, I feel confident that I can still show this to someone that's never heard of Shaman King or hasn't gotten into Shaman King, and they would still get what makes Shaman King appealing and convince them to check out more of the series, maybe read the manga, maybe read Takei's other work. And that's really just all I want out of it. Because at the end of the day, the manga is better. I don't think there's any debate here. The manga is 100% better than this anime.
Yeah.
But I feel that's also not the purpose of the anime to be better than the manga.
I mean, yeah, there are some cases where that is the case, where the anime is the, like, it's the preferred way of, like, experiencing something, but that's very few and far between. So,
yeah, like, your Gintamas or, like, your Conan.
Yeah, like, definitely those, like, there are very few of those out there. So for sure, yeah, I didn't go into watching this expecting it to be like the premier way of enjoying Shaman King. So
Takei is never going to draw Shaman King again after this. The anime is going to be so perfect that he'll quit manga forever.
For me, it was just, hey, I got to re-experience a story that I liked and refresh on and had a fun time, and I did. So I'd say it hit my expectations.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good to hear. That makes me happy. We're done aside from Marion Corner, so let's contact Marion. If Marion doesn't want to come on, then we're done.
Time for the Marion TED Talk.
Oh my god. Do we have any idea when the next core is coming out?
Never. No. Netflix feels like
Netflix it. Never gives a damn.
Oh, okay.
Netflix does.
It'll probably be a month after the next season starts, so probably November.
Oh, okay.
What if it comes out during Anime NYC?
Oh god.
No, we're already watching Bell. We're not watching Shaman King, I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
True.
When does Bell come out?
It's already out.
I don't know. Yeah. It is out in
Japan. No, in the US. In Japan I know it's out.
I mean, they haven't said. They just said later this year.
When we feel like it. The best release date.
Yeah, I mean, later this year, which I remember they did say something like that. So it would be around the Anime NYC, like, time period. Give me
8 minutes, okay.
So, in caps. So, okay, I'm looking forward to this.
Ugh, I can't wait for Digimon R War Game 3.
Stop.
Okay, but like I've already made that joke too, so I can't even be mad.
I feel like everyone's made that
joke. Yeah, I mean, like summer.
Would
you
like to play a game?
Our summer wars. Our digital summer wars. There we go.
Featuring Belle.
Mirai
seems
to be doing better than Mirai.
True.
I mean, Mirai.
I like Mirai, but like it. I mean, Mirai is like a really cute movie. I wouldn't say it's my favorite host of that film, but like. Yeah.
It's a different perspective from Hosoda because it's like after Hosoda has finally become a parent.
Yeah, because it's about.
So his viewpoints on family has changed a lot.
I need to actually watch Mirai.
I have not seen it either. I mean, after the Doremi episodes he's done, I can't watch Hosoda. I can't. There's nothing that will compare to those. Like, God.
It's like the people that say, like, Hosoda's best thing is that One Piece film.
Oh shit! Like, oh.
I need to watch that again too.
Yeah, that was that.
No one in years.
Oh, bro. Yo, okay. So when you come by here, we clearly need to watch it because I have it.
Hold on! Stop adding stuff to the.
Wait, I said when
you guys are just gonna be in Sakaki's room the entire.
I just said when you. I just said when you come here, we get. It's like a 1 hour movie. You'll be.
A 1 hour.
On top of what else are you gonna watch?
Exactly, you're not even watching all that much. Like. You'd be alright.
Not yet, we're not. If we keep adding, it's cool.
But you keep adding stuff and it's okay, but when I want to add stuff, I can't. We're totally giving V-Lord. V-Lord's over there just like gelling off of this, isn't he?
I'm just finding this funny.
Get the popcorn, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we haven't mentioned it, I guess it's pretty clear what our relationship status is.
Fine. You can put it on the list. We will start making a list.
We're just
things you need to do.
Clearly, you guys need to start Yawara finally.
I mean, I want to, but
do it. It's perfection.
It's really, really good. Yes, I mean, come on. It's got.
I have it downloaded. I mean, we can start anytime.
I mean, we could. It's Jirokichi, and he's like troll. He's like, it does hurt.
God,
a bit,
I forgot who's in that. I'm gonna be sad now.
He eats the watermelon sinister.
Oh, V-Lord reminds me of my tweet with the Jesse, like, emo, the Jesse, like, he can't keep getting away with this.
Someone stop.
I mean, like, right now, literally, the only thing we're watching, like, besides maybe weeklies, if we have time for them, is that. So, and, well, Leverage. Like, at least an episode or two of that, I guess, but, yeah.
What's Leverage?
Leverage. It's a TV show. It was on TBS. Are you kidding?
Even I knew about it before we started watching it.
Are you?
I've never heard of Leverage.
What?
Oh my god. Okay, we're making you.
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh my god.
If it makes me feel better, V-Lord, I don't know what it is either.
What?
Oh my god.
Come on, people.
Hold on. What's,
I don't know a lot of American television.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
He co-created Jackie Chan Adventures?
Yo!
Wait, what?
That's true.
The guy who created Leverage co-created Jackie Chan Adventures.
He did. And it kind of has that same kind of aura, too. So I definitely could believe that. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to watch this later.
Yeah, it's really, okay. If I had to compare it to something, it's kind of like Great Pretender.
True.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sold.
It's basically like American TV Live, a Great Pretender. Like, that's what it is. So, yeah. It's a lot of fun. Like,
you got my interest. Now, the real question is, what's it streaming on?
Oh, Amazon Prime. It's on
IMDb.
Yep. I'm familiar.
Yeah, that's what it's on. So yeah, you could definitely watch it there. But I would say it's fun. I had a lot of fun with it. And it's what, 5 seasons? It actually just came back. Like,
oh,
there's a revival series that's also on that service.
Also, Sakaki, do you want to make yourself feel old?
I feel old every day. There's nothing more.
Guess how old I was when this show came
out.
I don't want to.
I was 10.
Oh no.
Okay. Well,
see, I was.
That's probably why I haven't seen it.
I was looking at the state. I was 28.
Okay, Laser has no excuse.
Yeah,
well, my excuse is I don't pay attention to American television that well.
Okay, well.
Same.
Well, that's completely fair.
I mean,
most of the like live action television I watched as a kid was probably like NBC shows.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of Star Trek.
Like 30 Rock,
The
Office, Parks and Rec.
See, all of those I've never seen. So.
I would recommend 2 of the 3. You don't have to bother with The Office. The Office is mid.
Okay. That's what
My sister likes The Office.
Yes. Yeah, same thing, my sister too. See, our sister.
Well, then Nini's mid.
Let me tell you.
She just called... She also likes Parks and Rec. So.
My sister also
okay,
likes.
Then she's unmid.
Likes both of those shows, actually.
I don't know if my sisters have seen like my pulse on American TV shows are my little sisters, so they know about. I know they like The Office, but I don't know if they've seen.
Let me
parts
put it this
that.
Way: one of my buddies just got me started to watch Walking Dead. I'm in mid season 2 because he's been showing it to me.
My sister has also seen that. I don't know where she stopped, but she also watched that.
Yeah, my sister.
I don't pay attention to my sister.
When I was younger,
yeah,
I literally used to think I would
watch that too. I mean, I've introduced them to stuff because, like, they wouldn't have watched Breaking Bad if it weren't for me. So, but they refuse to touch Saul, which saddens me because Saul is so good.
I really need to watch Saul.
You do.
It looks so good.
It is good. It's amazing. And the last season, you might as well just wait for the last season to get next year.
See, that's what I was waiting for this one because I know it's ending eventually.
Yeah, next year is the final season. Like, if it weren't for COVID, it would probably be this year. But yeah, like Saul is super good. I would even say it's almost better than Breaking Bad in my opinion. But,
see, that's what I've heard, which is why I really want to watch.
Yeah, I mean, like they're a great companion piece, so you should. I mean, definitely watch both. But like, as far it feels like they perfected what they were doing in Breaking Bad and Saul. Like, I really love Saul. So yeah, but yeah, watch Leverage. It's fun. Like, if you like Great Pretender, you'll probably get something out of it.
I'm trying to think of the last live action series I went through. I think it's Brooklyn Nine-Nine, probably.
I just started that on Thursday with my best friend. I've never seen it before Thursday.
My sister has also seen it.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine's really good.
It is.
Good.
It's super, like, we were only going to watch 2 episodes, and we ended up watching like 5 because we both never seen it. And we ended up watching like 5 episodes at like the middle of the night because we both were just enjoying it so much. So, like, yeah. Jechon, you haven't watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No, I've only seen the clips. Actually, now I think about it, I don't know if Nini's even started it. I know she keeps saying that she is, or that she did start. Again, I don't pay attention to her.
Like, if
she doesn't exist,
if we did, yeah. I mean, my sisters don't pay attention to me, so it's a great role reversal there. But yeah.
I mean, she also like tells me stuff, and I don't remember because my memory is absolute shit.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's me too. That's why we're such a great.
That's Sid whenever I tell him anything.
True, I witnessed this all Otakon Long. All Otakon Long would be like, Vila. They'd be like, why? Did that happen?
Yeah, my favorite is whenever I'm trying to talk to my sister about stuff. It's like, she'll just be like, I hate anime. Why? I don't know. You don't know why you hate anime? Yeah, it's cool that you like it, but I hate it. What do you hate about it? What do you hate then? Why do you say you hate it if you don't have any idea?
Yeah, I mean, my oldest sister used to like anime. In fact, she used to like Inuyasha and DBZ, but then she kind of like grew out of it. Which, I mean, she still knows of stuff, but she doesn't
watch
it.
I if we were younger, she probably would like anime. Like, she and I used to watch the X-Men cartoon together way back in the day.
Okay.
Having a sibling that still likes anime and consumes manga is very convenient.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It truly is.
I can imagine that would be nice.
Yeah,
we watched a Lupin special last night.
Yeah,
I am now staring at my anime collection going, I could have more people to help me buy stuff, but no, I don't.
Yeah, no, we were talking about that Wednesday too, because like my sister, and the only problem is they like a lot of the stuff I don't. So like it gets difficult because they're like really big on like Attack on Titan. I'm like, I don't like that show.
I mean, they like that show, but it's really hard to watch.
Same.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
It kind of just becomes a mess.
Yeah. Oh god, like I really liked season 3, and then season 4 just threw that out the window.
Oh, for real? I know everybody likes season 4, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
season 4 was annoying! Hey guys, I was a good person, I was interesting, and now I'm boring and evil. Bye.
See, I like that part of it.
I don't mind it.
I
don't mind it in concept. In execution, it's just like, what?
Seriously, I mean, every video that I've seen about season 4 is like, season 4 is amazing. It's the best.
And then,
season.
Yes, there is also the uncomfortable illusions. That is also a thing.
Yeah. Season 4 saved my marriage.
Oh my god.
I mean, I just found all the characters irritating from so. So
yeah, no, I don't care about any of the actual characters.
There's only really one character that I like, and that's Armin.
Okay, Armin's okay. I do like Armin.
Yo,
everyone else though, no.
I've never been like, oh, Iron's a cool character. I've been like, dude, chill out. And I've been kind of, honestly, that's my interpretation of literally every character in the show except for Armin. Dude, chill out.
People who like Eren as their favorite character are the same people who their favorite characters like Rorschach or Tyler Durden.
Oh my god.
Marion, welcome.
Yo.
So that we don't end up making this too long, just go straight in and do your TED Talk.
I just got off of 9 episodes.
Wait. Actually, I should probably properly introduce you into this. Okay, one sec. So now that us four are done talking about Shaman King, we're going to invite on the legendary, the holy, the sacred, Marion. Marion, how you doing? How's your Shaman King watching?
Big chilling. I'm off, my adrenaline is, sky high right now, because I just watched, 9 episodes in a row in the same city. And it was right up to the Yoen Ren rematch, so I'm like, yeah. Oh my god, I took notes, quote unquote notes. I will literally just I'm just gonna look at what I wrote on the notepad. Okay, so everyone has yaoi hands.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off with the best material. Right. Let's go.
Pyron has sausage fingers. I wonder where we got that from.
I'm muting all of you. No, I cannot relive that episode. No.
Marion has saved anime.
No. I don't want to relive that. I can't. That's my Kuro Rekshi. No, I can't.
All right, so the pacing is pretty decent, actually. I think Velor told me it's about a third or 3/4 of a volume per episode. And
that
was
me.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was Jekka.
Thank you, Jekka.
It was one of us, but...
one of you two. Yeah, whatever. Point is, it was pretty good pacing. I think it's not quite banana fish, which makes it a little more easier to stomach. Because banana fish pacing is a whole volume per episode, which is insane. Yo uses aura as his pronoun, which is instantly based and Inaka-pilled.
True.
The art can be kind of jank. Oh my god. Especially in episode 7, there were a couple shots of Anna with weird angles where I'm just like, what the fuck are these portions?
Yeah.
I mean,
lots of off-model shots.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really mind because I'm used to shitty art in long-running shonen anime or whatever. But Yeah. Besides that, Faust says Tokyo Tomare Omae wa Utsukushi, and I'm like, wait, Tokyo Tomare? Is that a Dio reference?
Stop.
And it was translated as beautiful moment, do not pass away. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. In general, the translation was pretty like nice. I think at one point Basan said Onore Kisama, and they used you reprobate.
Yes, I remember that.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
God, I love when they use like when they try to like adapt old timey speech with like random ass vocabulary like that. Like, yes, thank you. I did study for the SAT. I know what this means. And oh, Punchy Balls Real in all caps.
Oh my god.
Yes.
That shit was gross. Oh my god. It just like wrapped up Manta in his balls, and I'm like, what the fuck? When Anna showed up and she's like, get away, you sexual harassment animal or whatever. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's basically it.
I mean, she's not wrong.
That's basically what happened. And yeah, I mean, overall, like, I really enjoyed it. This was like such a fun watch. The music was pretty good. There were a couple standout tracks. There's this one drum and bass track that comes up, and I'm like, what the fuck? I feel like I'm listening to like DJ Tiesto, but like I'm not against it.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
And yeah, like in general, like I really like what I did watch of it. I'm gonna finish the rest of it tonight probably. I was really happy to see like there were apparently a lot of returning voice actors from the 2000 show, which I never saw subbed. I only saw like a couple episodes here and there of the dub, and yeah, I would be like exclaiming on Discord like this person, and then half the time it was wrong. So that's like, yeah, my ears are rusty, but the people I did catch, I'm like, whoa, Hikaru Midorikawa, Mr. Bedroom Voice himself, as Sakaki would say. He's asleep.
Yes, yes, that's the for Laser, who probably doesn't get that joke. It always sounds like he just woke up. Like, it's not the bedroom voice in the sexy way. It's the guys, can we record later? No, you sound your best right now. Just go ahead.
Yeah, that was Silva, and no, that was like really good performances, like all around. I confused the actor for Tao Jun with Kotone Mitsuishi, which is Sailor Moon, and Boa Hancock, but like it was like someone else, and I'm just like, oh damn. For some reason, like that was like not gonna say that was like a good impression, but like that's definitely like the kind of tone that came off. Like especially like a Boa Hancock type of voice.
Yeah, Michiko Nea's sound can sound really close to Mitsuishi. Like,
yeah. They might as well be sisters, damn.
I mean, it's funny because like they're both in One Piece because like Nea plays Sanji's sister.
Oh really? Okay, yeah, so. I see it. It's pretty good. Both have what is that shit called again? Dokushita. They have poisonous tongues.
Yes, Dokushita. Yes.
Mm. But yeah, in general, like this adaptation is pretty good. Like. Besides, like, the jank art, which is, like, at this point, it's actually kind of charming, because it's like, oh, yeah, it's like I'm in the 2000s again.
My god.
Marion, do you know what the director did besides Shaman King?
Please enlighten me.
Seven Deadly Sins Season 3.
Wow. Side grade?
A lateral move, yes.
Yeah, not quite an upgrade, but you're almost getting there.
Lateral move, yeah, he'll get up there one day.
You're getting better.
Yeah.
You went from a D plus to a C minus, you know.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, you know what? That's actually good for you. I think you're making the director sound, you're like making the most out of whatever your scraps of resources you're getting. So good job. It could be a lot worse. It could be Spider, which was also pretty good, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, Spider's really good outside of the human scenes.
Yeah. That's right. Because Isekai's good. And what is Shaman King but a proto isekai, because the spirits are from the past. It's like Inuyasha, but in reverse. Yeah, I'm fucking genius.
We spent so much time talking about Inuyasha, so that's amazing. And let's just put it out there that it's not like Mary and New that we would be bringing Inuyasha at all.
This is literally my first time hearing this. I just made that shit up.
God, this is amazing.
Well, that was a good Inuyasha podcast. So
yeah,
totally.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, just call us Yashahime too. Because we're better than the first one.
God.
Oh, if only. I have a feeling the only thing I'll probably be better is Takashi Shina's adaptation of Yashahime.
Yeah. Save it for Saturday Night Shogi, Beeler. Damn.
God.
I mean, we'll talk about it then, in detail. Maybe. But yeah, I think that basically wraps up this episode. So yeah, I mean, go check out the Shaman King anime on Netflix.
Oh, maybe don't. Maybe... No, never mind. I was going to say something rude. I was going to say fuck Netflix, because like their like DRM shit is so annoying. You can't even take screenshots. Like, fuck out of here. I had to...
Okay, that is annoying.
You have to get like a fucking plug-in for that shit.
Netflix, why? Unless you have Firefox for some reason, because it works for me.
Netflix, if you're listening, I'll forgive you if you give me like a like 3 free months.
What has happened is we are now sponsored by Netflix and Aniplex. Our enemies who paid us, and now they're not our enemies anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I would take their money.
I mean, hell yeah, shit. If they gave me free Netflix, yeah, I'd take it. I don't like just them at us, all. But
just send us 5 codes to oversoulshamankingpodcast@gmail.com. Whatever the email is, Beeler, plug that in.
We probably need to make an email, but actually, no, we do have an email.
What is the email?
What am I talking about? It's like shamankingpod@gmail.com.
There you go, NX and at NX on Netflix or whatever. Just email that shit. Come on, I'm waiting. Compensate me.
But yeah, I mean, I guess let's wrap up here and plug our stuff. So, Jekka, let's start with you. Where can people find you?
Oh, man. You can find me on the internet.
Poggers.
Mostly on Twitter.
She'll get there eventually.
Come on. Still watching. All right, you can find me on Twitter at Jekka1021. I sometimes go on there. I mostly lurk around and just retweet stuff. Nobody really cares about my opinions. If you find me on YouTube with the same name, Jekka1021, I have some AMVs up there. I haven't made one since like 2018, but you know.
Damn, they're that good. You're living off the royalties for that long.
God,
that YouTube
ad. She's the brutal Mars of AMVs.
God.
I also write for the weekly Shonen Sunday Talkback. I've done a few articles on there. The most recent one is actually the
Darren Sean.
Yeah, Darren Chan.
My neighbors love those reviews. Did you hear them like just supporting you with their hugs?
Are you gonna bring up the freak.
Got it.
There you go. Are you gonna bring up the Yaiba work we do?
Am I allowed to?
I feel like what say you, V Lord?
I mean, I'm not gonna stop you.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, until it miraculously gets licensed, we are also Sakaki and I, he translates and I edit the manga for Gosho Aoyama's Yaiba, which it is never going to get picked up. Yeah, that is true. It is the better Yaiba, sort of. I actually have not finished Kimetsu. Yeah, so we're slowly getting through that. We're mostly just waiting on me because I'm super duper busy, but and I'm tired all the time. You can find us on Twitter for that one too, for Aho Toxin. That's A H O TOXIN 4649 on Twitter. Normally we just I post the link whenever I upload a chapter. I think that is it. Yeah.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Laser, where can people find you?
Well, people can find me on Twitter at LaserKidPrime, where I mostly just retweet To Know My Faithful stuff, but I also talk about random other stuff. You never know. You can also find me on Toonami Faithful, where I write editorials, and I also show up on the podcast here and there. You can find me on the Demon Slayer podcast when V-Lord has me on as a guest, and of course, you can always find me on the Dumb Weebs podcast.
Mm-hmm. Marion, where can people find you?
Let me just rev up my friars. All right, I think they're done revving. You can find me on Twitter at microwavy, the E is before the V. I barely tweet anymore because I'm also super busy working at the pharmacy and whatnot. I have a card in my description that has all my other projects, like all the other podcasts I'm on, including the Good Friends Anime Cast at Good Friends Cast on Twitter, Haikyuu Pod, which is on hiatus until the anime comes back or we get new Haikyuu stuff. I'm on the Demon Slayer podcast with V-Lord and Sakaki at D-Slayer podcast. We're also on Saturday Night Shogi at Sat Night Shogi. It's a Shonen Sunday focused podcast, or Shogakukan in general. And I actually host that one. If you want to hear me take the reins and just instill chaos everywhere. And besides that, I also contribute as a writer for Toonami Faithful at ToonamiFaithful.com. I haven't written something, anything for a couple months just because I've also, like I said, I've also been busy. Which is also my excuse for also not contributing to the weekly Shonen Sunday blog because, I have two volumes of Call of the Night and countless other things that I have to catch up on, but it's been a little rough. I went to a wedding and I also have work and it's just lots of shit. But I'll get to it eventually. Don't worry about it.
The best catchphrase. I hear it in my dreams.
Get to it eventually. Don't worry about it.
I don't need to make a catchphrase. It just happens. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Okay, own it. See, own it. Just own it. You're beautiful. Just own it.
Oh my god.
It's like yo saying Nanto Kanarusa. Like, yeah.
There you go.
It'll be all right. It'll be all right.
Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. There you go.
And okay. excuse me. I choked on my spit. shit. What the fuck did I plug? I also sometimes write on my own personal blog. That's heavensdoorknob.wordpress.com. I have, I said this months ago. I still haven't done it. I have a planned blog post for the Satoru Iwata book that came out recently by Viz. Yeah, look forward to that whenever that comes out. I'm sure you'll know because I'll make a big splash about it. But yeah. I think that's it.
Awesome. Sakaki, you're up.
Yo. Yo, people. You can find me at WSS back, or us, I should say. It's a thing to check in. I both. So weird saying that because usually we're not on podcast. V-Lord, fix that for me. Anyway,
I feel that's like Jekka's choice.
You have more power than you think. You're also beautiful. Anyway, you on WSS Topic, we talk about Shonen Sun. It's happening. So if you like Inuyasha, we you covered. We don't eventually. Actually. Yeah, we don't actually because Miko she's doing. But we talk about all kinds of Shonen Sunday stuff, and unlike all of the other lesser magazine Twitters, I mean, don't let the follow count fool you. We go through the entire magazine every week, And that's a lot of work, and I really need you all to pat my ass more often because I have a day that I have to do that, and I translate the TOC.
I'll pat it, pinch it, rub it, whatever you want.
God!
Oh, God.
Y'all gotta stop moving.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
You should feel good. I feel good. Anyway,
should we feel good?
Yeah, feel good, Inc. Watch me as I navigate. Anyway, yes, you can find us there. And then we're also at wsstalkback.com, which Jekka and Marionette both mentioned, where we post reviews of show Gakukan manga, interviews, translations of interviews with like authors and the editorial staff. I'll get to it. Basically, it's the Slackers Association slacking on. But recently they did a write up on it, which was you should check that out. And always, as always, I say, if anybody's got anything Shogaku related to write about, you know, it be about a realized and an anime that's running, it could be something that happened years ago. We will always love to have guest writers, so if you have any interest in writing about Shogakukan, please, by all means. I also write for Toonami Faithful. Done that in a while. I'll get to it. Don't worry about it.
I also need to get on my button right, so don't feel bad.
Yeah,
I think we're all in the procrastination corner for Toonami Faithful. Yeah.
CJ's going to fire all of us together. It's going
to
be
I just fucked this.
I was supposed to DM CJ when I got back.
I just talked to CJ a couple days ago. That feels even worse, man. But on the podcast, Steven, and that's a great getting into that podcast. Actually, I'm on a podcast with our good buddy Colton, a Dragon Ball one, another DB pod on Twitter. Or if it's animated and Goku shows up in it, we're probably going to talk about it. We recently did record with CJ, and that was a lot of fun. So,
oh hell yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean,
what arc was that?
We were in the first Tenkaichi Budokai.
Nice.
So yes, that was a lot of fun, and I mean it's part of the Manga Mavericks Patreon, so definitely support that if you want to hear the episode sooner. And otherwise, they come out every time we do a new one. Another one pops out on like a public feed, so definitely follow that. And last but not least, I guess you can find me at Kirobon. KIIROBON. I've been trying my best to do things on there lately because I know the running gag is I always talk about how it's not following. But I'm trying to change that, but work is making it very difficult. So, yeah, there's again not much there to talk about, but follow it if you like emptiness, I guess.
Yeah, being an adult member of society sucks.
Yeah, no, it's always just, you know, how are you doing? We'll get to that later. Constantly until you die.
Damn.
The sad thing is that's not wrong.
I wish I was a neat again.
I'd say I was a neat for a month and I want to go back to
V-Lord, where could be
Yeah, V-Lord, use your high energy to bring us back from that gulf of awkwardness I left us on.
What high energy?
You have it. You're like a fucking Energizer Bunny.
You're high on Shaman King.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, I might be high on Shaman King. But yeah, people can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ. And then I write various things for
old-comic.com. VLord, can I interrupt you? Sorry.
Yeah.
I just remembered there was that one scene where they used the first opening from the 2000 series in Shaman King. I was like, holy shit. Oh. I was like, when I tell you, I was pogging out of my fucking mind. I was pogging out of my fucking mind. Holy shit, that was so hype!
Oh my god,
that was okay. So here's a story. Like 2 weeks ago, me and Sakaki were on Discord and we were just talking about like anime openings and shit. And then at one point, it devolved into me shilling Black Clover, and I'm like. All of these times that they use the first Black Clover opening in these hype ass moments, and it's like, I was like trying to instill the energy of hype into him, and he was just like, "Damn it, God damn it, you're selling me." And I'm like, "I know I am because it's that good." And then I had that same feeling when I heard "Yamida," and I was like, I was ready to throw my fucking laptop out the window.
God.
Okay, Wheeler, you can continue.
Yeah. One sec, I'm still looking. Okay, but yeah, you can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ, and then I write various things for all-comer.com as well as TsunamiFaithful.com, so check out all my stuff on there. And then I do a bunch of podcasts besides this one, Saturday Night Shoggy, like Marion mentioned, and like Laser mentioned, Dumb Weebs podcast at Dumb Weebs Pod. Then there's the Demon Slayer podcast at D Slayer podcast. And then I'm also on the Toonami Faithful podcast pretty often at Toonami Podcast. So check out all those. But if you're interested in the Shaman King podcast, you can find Oversoul Shaman King podcast on Twitter at Shaman King Pod. And we're basically on every podcast platform out there at this point. Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbay, you name it, we're there. So go subscribe, look us up, give us a review, rate us, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah,
we love you, even though the frequency of our uploads have drastically been,
yeah,
they aren't the most consistent.
It could be worse. We could be the Dumb Waves Pod over here.
I mean, yeah.
I guess I feel like the release schedule for that's still better than Oversoul.
It's okay.
It's not right, bad.
It's okay though. We're there when we're needed. We're heroes.
Yeah, that, there you works. Go.
I guess. But that does it for this episode. So we will see you guys later.